91. Open up a public hearing on House Joint Memorial 12. President Starr. Mark, you want to tell us what we're looking at?
Sure. Chairman Hill, members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 12, request that the United States Congress repeal the phone tax. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, I'm here to speak in favor of HJM 12, which encourages Congress to repeal the unnecessary and burdensome phone tax. In interest of the committee's time and my own, I will speak briefly to the opportunity we have with the passage of HJM 12. As I'm sure that you have heard, the phone tax antiquated and unnecessary intrusion upon the hard-earned dollar of the American people. This tax, telephone excise tax, is equal to 3% of the monthly telephone bill. The tax was first adopted in 1898 to help finance the Spanish-American War. While that war ended within the year, 100 years later, its telephone excise tax is still with us. The tax was phased out after the Spanish-American War, but was reimposed to help finance World War I. It was brought back again to help government during the Great Depression, World War II, and the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. In 1990, the tax was permanently set at 3% to help close the deficit. Now the deficit is gone, and we currently aren't fighting any wars, but the tax is still with us. The tax was originally adopted as a luxury tax on the rich, because they were the only ones that had telephones 100 or so years ago. Today, it is a regressive burden on low-income taxpayers that amounts to a large share of their income. Telephone excise tax imposes a total burden of between $5 and $6 billion on the public every year. With the eradication of the deficit, this tax is no longer necessary. By asking Congress to do away with the phone tax, we are telling Oregonians that we will not stand by while useless taxes are imposed. And with that, Mr. Chair, I end my testimony. Appreciate the opportunity to testify on this bill.
Thank you.
Any questions of Representative Starr?
I noticed that no one else had signed on when I signed up just a minute ago. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Doesn't look to be any questions?
What's it used for now?
Basically, the money is in the big pot of money that the Congress spends every year. About $5 to $6 billion.
Million?
Billion.
Billion?
3% of everybody's telephone bill. Pretty significant amount of money. If it pleases the committee, I've got a plane to catch. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Joint Memorial 12? Hearing and seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Joint Memorial 12. Let's open a work session on House Joint Memorial 12.
Mr. Chair, I move House Joint Memorial 12 to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Patridge moves House Joint Memorial 12 to the House with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
I don't like this bill. I thought I'd give you a clue. Nothing personal, Bruce.
Is there any further discussion? Question, is there any objection to?
I object.
Record show that Representative Lowe objects to House Joint Memorial 12.
And I also request that it not be placed on the consent agenda.
Will not be able to.
Thank you.
We'll have Representative Starr carry the memorial. Having received a majority, House Joint Memorial 12 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and we'll assign Representative Starr as the carrier. Let's open up a public hearing on House Bill 3345. Would you like to explain what we're looking at?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3345 prohibits a person providing cellular telephone service from disclosing the location of the cellular telephone or disclosing records relating to the location of the cellular telephone. It provides a person providing cellular telephone service may not send advertising to a customer's cellular telephone based on the location of the phone unless the customer has given prior written consent. Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Representative Merkley. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members of the Advancing the Government Committee, I believe that the speaker is trying to come down. I haven't spoken to him today about this, just yesterday, so he may join us at any moment. I am before you today to testify on this bill, which protects the privacy of location information generated by the new generation of cell phones and digital assistants. Currently, many of us wander around with our cell phones in our pockets, such as I do, my trusty Nokia, and currently it facilitates my communication with the world enormously. But starting in a few short months, new cell phones are going to have incorporated technology that will change them from simply a useful way to communicate with the world into an instrument that will provide data that will track my location everywhere I go. And so that is the basis of why this bill has been brought forward. Five basic points. We are entering this strange new world very soon, in which cell phones will track us everywhere we go. There is federal legislation on the control of location information that phones generate, but it fails to give citizens effective and adequate control over databases recording their movements. The federal government has invited states to provide stronger privacy protections to their citizens, and it's in response to that invitation or that opportunity that this bill is presented. Fourth, there are several areas in which we can strengthen the ability of Oregon citizens to control information that is compatible with federal law. And finally, that this is the right moment to act. This is a very interesting area of technology, and I must say, with each day I feel like I'm entering further into this strange new world. What really surprised me was how soon these phones are going to be dispersed. They are based on two major types of technology. This is referred to automatic location information, or ALI technology. One is based on putting a GPS receiver in the phone set, and then the phone forwards that information to the cell network. And the second informs the cell phone, and the second utilizes the difference in time and angle that a cell phone signal arrives at different transponders. And this is called a net-based strategy. Tracking technology is being pushed forward for two very different purposes. One is that the FCC has pursued what it calls enhanced 911 or E911 strategy, and the goal is to provide emergency dispatchers with specific latitude and longitude location information on the location of a caller. Phase one was to convey the phone number from which the caller was making the call. Phase two is to provide this location. Cell phone companies, on the other hand, have a very different interest. They are interested in location-based marketing and location-based services. Marketing will be achieved by displaying location-relevant advertising on cell phone screens, digital assistant screens, and laptop screens. Location-based services include driving directions, local news and weather, traffic reports, and concierge services such as booking theater tickets or making dinner reservations. This business of delivering information, communications, and entertainment to in-vehicle and mobile devices is called telematics, and telematics is expected to enjoy tremendous growth with the deployment of ALI technology. The FCC recently issued a new schedule for deploying handset ALI technology, and this schedule is that by the end of this year, 25% of new handsets are to be ALI capable. By the middle of next year, 50%, and by the end of next year, 100%. Furthermore, they are asking the industry to go back and retrofit the phones that are already out in the field, and the industry is being instructed to have what they refer to as full penetration, defined as 95% of the subscriber base by the end of 2005. There is a schedule for network-based, but it's different. Network-based is triggered by requests from a public safety entity for coverage. These requests can be made today. Starting from the moment of the request, a company has 6 months to provide coverage of 50% of the area and 18 months to provide 100% of the area. So obviously this could be here very quickly in network-based systems. The public safety entity has to be prepared to utilize the information, so clearly they can't just request it on a whim. They have to be investing to utilize it. There is a specific special schedule for VoiceStream, and it will have 50% of new handsets ALI capable by October, and 67% of calls will be placed for non-ALI handsets with a network solution by the end of December. So this year, this new technology is unfolding before us. And by October of 2003, that voice system is scheduled to meet accuracy standard of 50 meters for two-thirds of the calls. Some of the major companies have gone one way and some the other. Sprint and Nextel have elected handset technology. Verizon and Quest Wireless have elected to use network-based technology. And VoiceStream has a hybrid system. Federal legislation occurred in October 1999 with the Wireless Communication and Public Safety Act. This act amended Section 222, and I've provided a version of 222 with the amendment inserted because the web-based versions don't yet have the insertions, interestingly enough, even though it's passed in October. There are five main relevant things this legislation did, and I've laid them out as coherently as I can because you really have to play with the law when you're looking at it directly. One is it redefined customer proprietary network information to include location. That was fairly straightforward. Then it required before it was amended, it required the approval of a customer to use, disclose, or permit access to individually identifiable customer proprietary network information. And now what changed then in Section C1 is that now location is included in that. The new law went on to say that it wanted to clarify what C1 meant in the case that we're talking about location information. And so it noted that without the express prior authorization of the customer, a customer should not be considered to have approved. So it gave kind of an expanded definition of approval. Fourth, it clarified that nothing prohibits a communications carrier from using, disclosing, or permitting access to CPNI, directly or indirectly, through its agents, to provide inbound telemarketing. And this is basically the service component of the industry. As long as the call was initiated by the customer and the information is accessed during the call. And then finally, provides that telecommunications carriers can disclose location information for emergency purposes. There's a number of miscellaneous other things, but those are the key ones. This is a framework that is catching a piece here and a piece here, but it's not a coherent, unified framework, and it has a number of holes in it. And I wanted to point some of those out that really represent legislative opportunities. I also wanted to note that Section 222 has not been subject to rulemaking. The Telecommunication Industry Association has recently petitioned the FCC, I believe it was last month, for rules, and they have also described in their petition how they'd like the rules to be crafted. The deputy chief in FCC, though, has informed me that the FCC has not decided to hear the petition, and that if they do decide to issue rules, it could be a very long time before those rules are negotiated and put forth. In the meantime, we can see the pace at which these phones are being dispersed. And so essentially what we're left with is the same framework we have had since October of 99, which is it's basically up to the law as stated to provide the guidelines. And it's in response to the law as stated that these ideas make sense. Their shortcomings in Section 22 are the following. The first is there was a lot of discussion that when we reached this point, there would be requirements put forward for a privacy toggle that would allow you to take your phone, press a button, and say, I don't want to be tracked. But there is nothing in Section 222 that addresses a privacy toggle, nor are there concrete plans that I've been able to find for the industry to do this on their own. This type of feature was promoted as giving customers real control over highly personal information, their movement. Unfortunately, it's not clear that we're going to have this feature unless states ask for it. Second, it's important that customers receive the detailed disclosure of companies' practices regarding the management of location information. Such a notice could be included along with a service agreement, could be on a specific form, and the industry has called for and supported such a disclosure, although they've noted it could come in many forms. It could come in a line that simply says, among other things, find our disclosure on the web. We have an opportunity here to set a standard for items not to be covered in the notice and for the format of the notice so that customers really understand location policies of the company, and the notice isn't lost in the fine print. Third, this addresses location-based services. And the way this works is I take my phone and I call up a concierge service, and they basically tap into the cell phone company's computer and see where I'm at and provide me with the service I'm asking for, booking dinner or whatever. The law in Section D that applies to this, which I noted before, is different in that it does not have the language express prior authorization. It has only the language approves the use of such information, with no requirement for what approval means. The industry has noted that in initiating a call, a person is giving implicit approval. So this call for approval may be meaningless. It may simply mean you're seeking the service and you've approved it. We have an opportunity here to set standards for explaining how this works to the customer and ask that they obtain prior written consent, not for each phone call, but just to say, when I seek services, you have permission to give out my location information, or you don't have permission to give out my location information. There may be people, for example, who want to avail themselves of direction services or concierge services that would prefer to tell the person over the phone where they are at rather than having their database tapped into and passed around. The next issue is consent for location-based marketing. This is a situation where the company is sending out data to your cell phone screen or your laptop screen. And I should note that there's a collapse of definitions here, because basically anything with a screen that uses telecommunications to get information falls into the same generic category. And just as we have now personal digits, digital assistants that utilize mobile communications, you can also get cards for your laptop that do the same thing. And so we're growing into a world where you can either have a cell phone with a big laptop screen, or you can have one with a smaller screen, or you can have an ordinary cell phone screen. But they do the same basic function. In this area, the law did require express prior authorization for utilizing the customer's location information. But the word express is quite confusing. It's not written, it's not oral, and it's not explicit. Moreover, the industry has argued in the petition of the FCC that if a customer initiates a call, is providing implicit approval, express consent can be implicit consent. So as in the prior case, it's a very modest and weak standard. And we have an opportunity to set a standard for explaining the company's location-based marketing practices and requiring written prior consent. Next, the law does not address the length of time records can be kept on a person's location. Some systems, as I understand it, and I do not profess to be an expert in this area, but it seems like every time I look in the newspaper, I learn a little bit more or download an article. Some systems are not planning to have permanent information on electronic means or paper means. The information is primarily transitory. Other systems, it's not so clear, and companies are in the process of designing their systems. Those that record the information, and for example, if you have a system set up where a cell phone sends out a specific packet of information every few minutes on where you are, and as I understand it, that's going to be separate from information telling you which cell you're in so that it can communicate with you, or is providing your GPS. If the system is picking up and storing that information, basically it's creating a log of everywhere you're going. Somebody can tap into that and look at the last 2 months and say, I went here and there. We could prohibit companies from creating electronic or paper record of a person's movements, or we could set limits for how long such a record of a person's movements can be maintained on customers based in Oregon. And finally, there is this question of what happens when the cell phone is off. Most of us assume that when this future phone is turned off, it will not be sending out information on its location. I have attempted to talk to FCC experts today, and the only answer I could get on this was that they are not absolutely sure of which route the companies are taking in sending out information from the phones. There had been discussion in the past of designing them so that they sent out information when they were turned off, and this was a response to the emergency provisions that the FCC was seeking. So I do not know at this point whether the phones are going to be designed to send out information when they're turned off, but I do know that it hasn't been addressed in law, and it's another opportunity for us to set a standard. We can require that systems operating in Oregon be designed so that when a phone is turned off, it is not sending out information, or we could require a company not to utilize or record location information transmitted by a phone when it's turned off, so that it's effectively stopped on the front end or the back end of the transmission. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have a unique opportunity to protect consumers while ALI technology is in its infancy. Once systems are fully deployed, it will be more expensive and more complicated to redesign the equipment for reprogrammed computers. Let's seize this opportunity for the people of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the member? Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Jeff. That was a lot. This is the same stuff through here that is like in an OnStar, Lexus, or whatever can track you, find you anywhere.
Representative, well,
that capability is like right now.
Your phone may not be able to do that now, but if you buy a new phone by the end of this year, depending upon whether you're buying it from a company that's using GPS technology or net technology, then there starts to be a pretty good chance that the capability to track you is there.
What would be lost if we passed House Bill 3345? What opportunities would be lost? What are the pros of having such a thing exist?
Yes. First, I will tell you that I do not think that the bill as drafted is much more than a placeholder. These six points that I've laid out need to be chewed on and specific language crafted for each of them. And I would like, with the committee's permission, to work with one or more of you to come back with such a set of amendments. What would be lost would be absolutely nothing, because what we are doing is providing all the benefits of the technology. For example, if you're going hiking and you want your phone to serve as a personal beacon to help find you, you can utilize it in that fashion just as the technology has provided for. But if you decide that you prefer to be cut off from the world, and that includes being tracked, these changes will give you that power.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Kosicek. Or if you want to come up together, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Richard Kosicek with Verizon Wireless. In your packet of information, the first piece represents the Wireless Communications Public Safety Act of 99. The pertinent provisions in terms of confidentiality are found on page 2 and the top of page 3. Behind that, you will find the petition, which was recently filed on behalf of the Cellular Telephone Industry Association with the FCC. That is followed immediately by an FCC notice, a request for comments on that petition. And there are two basic information pieces dealing with the enhanced 911 system, specifically with respect to Phase 2. Verizon Wireless is opposed to House Bill 3345 for a variety of reasons. One, we believe it's premature in nature, basically represents a measure in search of a problem. In future years, when the technology is to the point that it is anticipated to be, this issue may indeed deserve review, but today we don't believe it does. Other reasons basically are, one, we believe the federal law is clear. We would like to see the FCC petition move forward and have the issue addressed by the FCC. Third, as discussed earlier, the Phase 2 of Enhanced 911 has been delayed somewhat. You really, I think, will have a much clearer picture on the advancement of Phase 2 within the next 12 to 24 month period. In terms of authorization for the use of information in future years, the bill suggests, one, complete written consent. In today's world, many people in the morning can buy stocks and bonds over the internet. A written request for written consent, not there. I think the FCC process will clarify that issue. But basically, what we have in the bill identified in Section 2 is a blanket prohibition on the use of information, and that should be reviewed very carefully. I think it could prohibit the use of valuable and viable information. If there's a problem, as I said, I think the bill is a measure looking for a problem. If you own a cellular phone today, if your service is inappropriate, poor, one, I hope it doesn't come from Verizon Wireless, which I'm sure it doesn't, but the tendency is to change the service.
The AT&T product here.
Representative Lowe, we can help you out of that situation. Representative Merkley indicated that this process is in its infancy, and we wholeheartedly agree. Again, we would encourage perhaps a review of this in future years, but not today.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Laura Imason from AT&T Wireless, and in the interest of time, I won't read my written testimony. If I could just take a moment, though, to let you know that I think that the industry is already concerned about this issue, has been talking with its customers about it, is well aware that customers are interested in the benefits of ALI technology, but also concerned about what are we doing with the information. And to that end, the association has adopted a set of principles to work as an industry. We have agreed on a set of principles in order to guide the way we deal with this information, and have petitioned the FCC to adopt rules specifically. Attached to my testimony is Section 222, which demonstrates that location has been added to CPNI. It requires express prior authorization, and we have asked the FCC to please work on defining that, what the specifics of that is, and are willing to work with. Within that process, we do believe that the FCC is the appropriate place for that discussion at this time, particularly because mobility technology, by its very nature, people are moving from state to state, and we need a comprehensive set of rules. So it really makes sense to have a national policy. We appreciate you taking the time. It is an important issue for our industry. We would suggest that perhaps we consider a memorial to Congress asking the FCC to move in an expeditious fashion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. Gozano? Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 3345? Hearing and seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3345. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3697. Mark, you want to explain what we're looking at?
Sure. Chair Hill, members of the committee, House Bill 3697 prohibits municipalities from imposing tax or fee on telecommunications carriers for the right to engage in business or for the use of the public highway. Permits municipalities to charge a public highway construction permit fee as an exception to this. It allows municipalities to impose an excise tax on the retail telecommunications services within the municipality boundaries. It also provides the terms of any public highway agreement between municipalities and telecommunications carriers be made public on request. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members of the committee. Intention here is to refer this to the School Funding and Tax Fairness Committee without recommendation and not touch this target.
Good plan, Mr. Chair. I concur.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3697 to the, School Funding and Tax Fairness Committee with no recommendation.
Representative Patrick moves House Bill 3697 be referred to the Committee on School Funding and Tax Fairness without recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. With that, and no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.
I thought that was pretty good.